Blog Talk Radio.
Trust and obey.
Trust in, pray, believe in that. Yes, I am.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. Hallelujah. This is your sister, Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Sherlene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to be here with you again, once again on tonight to welcome you to Gap Ministries Bible Study for this Thursday, April 21st, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is the anointed host and facilitator and the founder of Gap Ministries, your anointed host, Apostle Jaylene Travis. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Apostle Cook. And God bless all of our listeners who are in the studios, those are in the chat room, and those are listening worldwide. I would love to give God the glory, the honor, and the praises for the blessing of this opportunity. Not only is he my God, but he is the lover of my soul. He's the bisher and the potter of my soul. I am his workmanship. I'd like to give him praise, glory, and honor for this opportunity to be able to come on the Spirit Alive podcast and bring this word. But tonight is going to be a little bit different. And before I get started, I would like to go ahead and go and take a moment to pray. Father God, it is in the name of Jesus we give you praise, glory, and honor, and thanksgiving for the blessing of this opportunity. Father God, we just thank you for this panel, for everyone that is on the panel tonight. We thank you for all of our listeners, oh God. We thank you, Father, for the blessing and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just rise up in each and every one of us, that you even be activated in those that don't know you. Let them come to know you tonight. And Father, we thank you for this word that coming to us to not only to restore, but to revive and rebuild us, oh God. We thank you right now as I yield and surrender all to you and I pour out, I empty out that you may pour into me. Speak through Apostle Cook, through Elder Leola, and to all the other people that are participating in on this panel. This we decree and declare that it is so, that it will take root in the hearts of the men and women of God that will be listening on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. So, amen. And again, Apostle Cook, thank you so much for having this type of service on tonight. As we talked the other day, I was sharing with you what we did on the Gap conference line. I was at home and how the Spirit of God spoke to me. And he was talking to me about, I used to ask this question. I'm going to set the scene. I used to ask this question when things didn't turn out the way that I thought they did, or if they went another way, if they went seemed to go wrong, or if I had gained something and then lost it, I would always say, why? And then I would find myself asking, outside of asking why, I would always say, well, what if? You know, what if this had happened? Or what if, you know, I could have did it this way? Or what if I had got with this person and it could have been like this? Or why didn't it work out? Why was I so foolish? Why was I so blind? Or why didn't I just hear your voice? Or why was I doing it the best way? Why was I doing it the way that I felt like I do? Why did they treat me like that? Why did they use me? You know, those type of questions. And he was simply saying to me, he was bringing all of that as a replay. It's like it was a rewind button, and all of that was replaying in my spirit. And you know, I remember standing at the landings upstairs in the house, and I was like, I don't ask that anymore. I said, and it kept playing. And it was something that just quickened in my spirit, and I said, just like this here, I said, now I get it. Because not only did he replay me asking the whys, the what, the who's, the where's, or what if, he showed me why. He showed me that every time something happened in my life, that when his no, when I felt like it should have been a yes, y'all get where I'm going with this now? Because everything that happened in our lives, it comes from what the word says in Romans 8:28. And we're going to take three scriptures, and we're going to tie into this panel discussion tonight. We're going to go from Romans 8:28. We're going to do Jeremiah 29:11 and Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. And first we're going to go to Romans 8:28. And Father, we thank you for the reading and the hearing of this word, and let this word fall upon good ground, that it may be understood, may understand it in knowledge, come forth with listening, hearing, and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Romans 8:28, it says, and for we know that all things, not some things, but all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The key words here is to them. And then the other key word is to know. And the thing about it is, when he says all things work together, think about, beloved, when a particular relationship you had, apostle, something back in your, and you know, in our early days, because we're seasoned, you know, where we should be, when we should know the difference, we should know better, you know, that we don't have to ask the why, the what's, or the if. If we look at it and it don't look right, then we know it's not right. If it sounds like a duck, we call it quack quack, you know, because we have that seasoned discernment and wisdom upon us. But back in those days when we were young and like some people call it carefree, we would do the things that we wanted to do, we thought we wanted to do, and we would put ourselves in a position, I want to say this again, put ourselves in a position where God would have to pull us out. I recall being in a relationship off and on for about 10 years, and we would be engaged one time, then we would break up, and we'd get back together, we'd be engaged again, break up, get back together. It just kept going back and forth. And I tried to perform to the best of my ability to make the thing work. When it didn't work, it broke me. But the thing that broke off of me, it wasn't my heart. It broke the stubbornness and the rebellion off of me. And I didn't see it at that time. I thought my heart was broken, but the broken thing that was, the thing that was broken off of me, was my rebellion and the stubbornness. Because God was showing me every time that this was not for me. Every time I turned around, it was a flag on the play. And a flag on the play is a flag on the play. That means something's wrong, something's amiss. And God kept, you know, warning me, kept showing me things. And I kept going back. It was like a dog returning to his own vomit. And then when I finally broke, I was like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever happened to me. I'll never be the same again. And that was true. I'll never be able to come up out of this. And then that scripture, all things going to work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And I was like, what do you mean? Because you love me and you are called according to my purpose. Because you love me and because you are called according to my purpose, you are included in the them. So whatever you think the why and the what if, now you're going to get and know, understand why it didn't work. So when I look back at some things and when God showed me the things that I see now, now I get it. I know that I wasn't the one for that person because that person wasn't the one that was purposed in what God has called me for. See, we have to be equally yoked in everything, in friendships, in relationships, and you know, co-working and all of that stuff. We have to be equally yoked, because when you're unequally yoked, things never balance out. There's always conflict. There's always chaos. There's always a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding, sometimes if it says misunderstanding, M-I-S, that means you miss the opportunity to understand. Then you go back to asking why and what if. But once you get the understanding, now you get it, if you understand what I'm saying. Because in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. So when we were on the panel the other night, Apostle, everybody came in and they talked about certain things and incidents in their life where now they get it. They understand why that thing didn't work out, why that job let them go, because God has, when a door closes, my uncle used to always say, when God closed a door for you, stop asking why. Stop saying what if. Stop saying, you know, you were qualified. When God closes the door, stop knocking on it and move on, because once you move on and you get to where you're supposed to be, you will see. And now you'll get it. Now you'll understand. But if you don't understand, you get the MIS and you misunderstand. That means you miss the opportunity for the understanding and the knowledge of it. Not only with the opportunity for the knowledge and the understanding of it, but you miss out on the blessing. You miss out on the purpose and you miss out on the plan. It's like, in a way, it's like being sideswiped by a car. Or being sideswiped in the spirit, just get a brush of what you think that you should have been doing instead of just getting a full view. So we were talking, and I came up with, God gave me Ecclesiastics 3:1-8. And, you know, it says to everything there is a purpose and a time under the sun. There's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And when I did it, I studied some more this week. In this thing, it says to everything, but it talks about it. There's a time for 28 different things from verse 1 to verse 8. But one thing it doesn't talk about is a time to quit. It's a time to give up. It doesn't tell you that. It tells you that there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to loose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. But it never says a time to quit. It never says a time to question. Or it never says a time to just say, throw in the towel. A lot of people will tell you, I'll just throw in the towel. Just give up on it. But the thing of it is, I love what it says in here, is that to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. I understood why I went through the heartache. I understood why I went through the brokenness and being broken, because it wasn't just my heart that I felt was shattered. The thing that was shattered off me was that rebellious spirit, was that focusing on a man more than I, and I'm transparent. I focused more on the relationship with him than I focused on my relationship with God. So now I get it, that when you put, like what it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. It says seek God first, put God first in all things. When I start putting God first in all things, I start seeing why that thing didn't work out, because those things, when I don't know who's feeling like this on this call, that's in the studio tonight, but if you feel like, because you've been in a divorce, a broken relationship, or you've been abused, if you feel like you have low self-esteem and no self-esteem, stay tuned. Romans 8:28 will tell you that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And it is a time for you to go through a process where you feel like everything around you is dark or broken. But if you stay tuned, if you stick with it, and if you just hold fast to God and trust that that all things are going to work out for your good, you'll understand. You'll say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why that didn't work. Now I understand why that company had to let me go, because it was purpose for me to be somewhere else to minister on this job, or it was purpose for me to come into another field to glean, to labor or hear for God. Because a lot of people don't understand, Apostle, that where you are on your job, that's your ministry. That's part of it. Where you are at the supermarket, that's your ministry. That's part of it. Where you are with your family, because sometimes I'm going to be real with you, Sometimes ministering to your own flesh and blood is the hardest thing in the world, but now I get it. I get it because I went through a lot with my own blood family, with them, you know, being envious and jealous and talking about, well, she's not a real minister. She's fake. She's in it for the money. What money? I mean, come on, Bishop, Apostle, you know what I'm talking about. What money? A lot of things we do because we're servants of God. We're his workmanship. He provides. And they were saying things like that, and I was like, well, why would they talk about me like this? So God took me to the book of Genesis where he said, I told Abraham for a reason to come out from among them. Because if Abraham had stayed with his folks and hung around them, I wouldn't have been able to make him a father of many nations. Because the first thing they would have said to him, how are you going to be a father? Your wife is barren. How are you going to be this a father of many nations? Sherling, how are you going to open up a network, a global network, and do this without millions and millions of dollars? How are you going to do it? You know what I'm saying? So those things are the things that we talked about on the panel. When I say these things were life-changing, so everyone that was on that call, everybody could relate. One person talked about now they understood how they went through the abuse that they did physically because they ended up, you know, messing with drugs and wanted to kill themselves. And they had another family member that had committed suicide. But now they get it because they know that God planted them in this season, in that season in their life, to do what it is that they have to do, what they were called to do. A lot of our struggles, now every struggle that we go through, that we don't complain and murmur and fuss about, we are being built. We are being processed. I mean, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was three thrown into the fire, bound down. But when the king got up and looked, it was four in the fire. Nobody was bound, and they were walking around. The fourth one, he even identified. I believe that was the first mention, identification of who Christ was and him being in the Old Testament, because he said, "I see a fourth man that looks like the Son of Man." And the thing about it is, and it may sound like I'm rambling, but I'm going to get somewhere with it. You have to look at whatever was devastating in your life, and you're still here today, whether it happened last week, whether it happened last month or 6 months ago, whether it was 6 years ago or when you were 6 years old, you are still here today. And now you should get it if you have that close relationship with God, if you are trusting what he says in Jeremiah 29:11, for he know the thoughts that he has, thinks towards you. It's not, he thinks towards you. I mean, this means that you're on God's mind 24/7, the thoughts that he's thinking towards you. And he didn't say, well, I'm thinking about dressing you up in this here, and I'm thinking about doing this here. He says that, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Your expected end is in God, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the ending of a thing greater as the beginning of a thing. You know why? Because when you go in, sometimes when a piece of coal go in, it's all black and sooty. But once God finished with that pressure, once he get through fashioning it and doing what he had, you come out as a diamond. Once something goes into the fire, it comes out as fine gold. Once something goes in, like if you go into a situation blindfolded, if you ask God to give you sight and discernment by way of the Holy Ghost, you come out with discernment. You'll come out seeing things clearly. You'll come out not being fooled or deceived, or, you know, walking in deception. Those things, once you do those, you'll say, now I get it, because I get why it didn't work. Apostle, I get why it didn't work, because you know why? I would have still been consumed with trying to please a man and please his family and perform for them instead of me serving God as his sold-out servant. You get what I'm saying? And I get it why I lost that big house when I lived in Memphis, a five-bedroom house of over 3,200 square foot, and I got it with on bad credit, $500 down, when nobody in that area could get anything. But I get it now that when the housing market crashed, that was part of it. And I was like, well, I got to give this house up. And I remember the last night that I spent in that house. I had a very good friend named LaTori. Her and her family came over to finish helping us pack, put stuff in storage. and we prayed. And when I prayed, I cried. And I said, Father, I just want to bless the next family that live here. I want you to bless them, and I want your presence to stay and remain in this house. Because now I get it. My time here is over. My season here, I have to go somewhere else. And but no matter what I'm doing now, I have to bear under. I have to hoop them on under this pressure, because now you're crushing the oil. You're crushing this olive, because I saw myself as an olive. I not only had I lost a child, I lost a house. I lost the man that I thought I loved, and I thought they loved me. I lost money out of my bank account. I lost the career that I had because they shut down. And then I lost the business that I had. But now I get it, because God was pointing me in a direction, because I had to work according to His will and purpose, because of the good things. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. I love Him. So now I get it. Because I love Him, whatever I went through, come hell or high water, it worked out. Even when I went in the fire, I wasn't burned. Even when the flood came, I wasn't drowned. And I was perplexed. I was crushed. I was hit. I was punched. I was betrayed. And Apostle, you know part of the story, because I told you about how somebody in my old church betrayed me, and you saw it and never met him. And you was like, yeah, that's witchcraft if you ever seen it. But I was betrayed to the ninth power, to the tenth power, and I still stood strong. My own pastor didn't even know that me and that person was no longer friends. It was 12 years later when he found out. And when I talked about it, I said, but now I get it, because God was showing me what I need to see. First of all, he was showing me, don't put my trust in everybody, and don't let my right hand know what my left hand doing. And then another thing God was saying, stop telling everything that I tell you. You got to learn. You got to, what it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. I had to learn to not say anything. Everything God told me wasn't for public, for publication. Some things were supposed to be kept with me. And I'm on this call tonight to just tell somebody, whatever it is that you're going through, you need to stick with God. All things are going to work together for your good, simply because he loves you, and simply because you love him. If you love him the way that you love, like you say you love him, and then, I mean, you're going to have to love him with an unyielding love. You're going to have to love him with an unfailing love. You're going to have to love him in a way that no matter come hell or high water, you're going to still trust God, because that's what I did. When my child died, I still trusted God. People was looking at me and telling me, oh, you're very strong. It wasn't that I was strong. I was trusting God, because I know that whatever it was, I was going to understand why, because I had to understand that that child was with me for a certain period of time. And then another thing, when I lost that house, I was like, see, we look at, like in one of the Psalms, it talks about some trust in horses and some in chariots. We trust in the houses. We trust in the cars. We trust in the money. We trust in the positions. And when all those things are taken away from us, we want to ask God why. Why are we being punished? Oh, it's the devil. It's so-and-so, so-and-so. But sometimes it's the season that it was meant for, and that season is over. If that relationship has broken up and left you all broken down, get up. Get up. Get up, because all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Sooner or later, you're going to find out what the reason and the purpose was, because God is going to say to everything, there is a purpose. And then you're going to say, now I get it. You're going to understand that, okay, God, you got a plan for me, because you got thoughts that you think towards me. And the thoughts that he has is of peace, not of evil. He don't have thoughts that you broken and bound and disgusted and broke. Bruised and harmed and something rebellious and chaotic and violent. God has a better plan for us. And once you decide to come out and choose him and take his hand and let him lead and guide you, because, see, now I get it. Now I understand why I get up every morning and make God the first thing in my life. And now I get it why I pray so my family can hear me pray. Now I get it. When apostles say, hey, this is what we want to do for so-and-so, because God has chosen, God has selected, God has processed, God has purpose, God has planned. But the enemy has chosen, the enemy has selected, and the enemy has processed and planned. So you have to choose you this day who you're going to serve. Stop asking God why. Don't worry about the why. If you trust him, you don't need to ask a why. There shouldn't be a why. If you trust him, there doesn't have to be a what if. What if this had a word? What if I had a married that guy? I wouldn't be on this blog tonight. And what if I had a married him? I wouldn't be preaching and teaching people. I would still be God's chosen, but I would have been submissive and quiet because I would have been too distracted trying to please him, because that's what it was about. I had to perform. I'm being real. I had to perform. I had to prove to him all the time that I was better than the next woman. But guess what? He still chose the next woman. And when he got to the next woman, he chose him. It was like sitting in front of a revolving door. I sit there and watch him bring women through that door, and every time somebody came out on the other side, they came out broken and shrunk and deprived of who they are. And the thing of it is, you have to know that you're going to get it, that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. One day you're going to look up and say what I said the other day, a couple of weeks ago. Now I get it. Now I understand. I see what God is doing. I see how God put me with Apostle Cook. This is an anointed leader that's so anointed that she picked me out of Facebook. I didn't know her, but I see it. But had I stuck with what I wanted to stick with, what I thought I wanted to stick with, what I was seasoned to dealing with, I would have said, no, ma'am, that's not for me. That's not my thing. I have other things, because sometimes we do that. When God bring a blessing to us, we turn it away. We close the door sometimes on the doors that God opened for us. We'll walk. Have you ever walked up to a door and it's open and it's cracked? But it's meant for you to walk in, but you pull the door closed, and you be like, I ain't got time for that. But see, sometimes when you think you don't have time for it, you need to make time for it, because everything, it could be your open door. It could be the open heaven. It could be the time that God wants you to step right in. And the thing of it is that I'm just going to say before I give this over to Apostle, so she can tell me and Elder Leola can tell, can share with you guys, I get it. I understand why I'm called. I understand why I went through the hell. I understand why I survived being abused as a child and left in a park so somebody can come back and throw me in a river to keep me from telling. I understand that God had purpose for me. I understand that every thought that he thought towards me, no matter what I went through, Apostle, back in them days, 6 years old being molested, no matter what I went through with nobody believing me when I was telling them what was going on with me, no matter what I was going through, I still heard his voice. He still talked to me. And I used to ask, why was it me? Why is it me that they talk bad to? Why would they call me a red-haired, freckle-faced, half-white girl, whatever? You don't know what your dad is. I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand the pain. But the pain was the part of the process. The pain was the thing that was building me. The pain that, and believe it or not, pain built my confidence. Sometimes people let pain break them down, but pain built my confidence. It strengthened me. It undergirded me, and that was what God was pushing. It was like I could feel the pressure of like as if I was a lump of coal, because God was trying to get the diamond to shine. And I get up in the morning sometimes, and I read that scripture that says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And the thing of it is, when you arise from out of obscurity, when you arise out of Lodabar, out of Ziklag, because, see, I haven't been in there. I haven't been in Egypt. I've been bought out of Egypt. I have gone back to Egypt. But I made up in my mind I wasn't going around no more mountains. I was commanding the mountains to be thou removed from me. I wasn't climbing no mountains, because I was commanding the mountains to be thou removed from me. I wasn't going to sit there and run from the enemy. I was going to stand and have the dominion that God gave me. So now I get it, because everything that I went through, God was never left me. The enemy couldn't kill me. He couldn't take me out. He couldn't mess with my mind, because some of those things are meant to suppress your mind or to destroy your mind, because my pastor used to always teach, whoever has your mind has you. So I never gave my mind fully over, but because God was always there somewhere. He was always saying, you can do this, you can get through it, but I showed you this. And we have to keep our eyes and focus on the Lord. I had to learn to do that. I'm not saying I learned this yesterday or last week, but it ain't been that far. It had been that long ago. It's been a few years. I had to learn to just focus on what God wants, not what the world is saying, not what the world's expectations of me are. No matter what I've gone through, I've learned to share those things with people. I've learned to share that I've come out of an abusive relationship. I've come out of an abusive childhood where it was emotionally and verbally abusive, and I've come out of out of obscurity, being molested as a child. I've come out of, I've been strengthened with the loss of the death of a child. Everybody can't say that they've gone through that, and I don't want to see my enemies go through that. But you have to stop asking God why and start saying, Lord God, show me so now I can get it, because I'm going to trust what you say in Romans 8:28. I'm going to stand by what you say in Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to stand on what you say in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8, because to everything there's a time and a season. Even Satan has a termination date. He has an expiration with your time with God. And I want to share this with you, beloved, before Apostle gets on and Elder Leo come on. I know what God does, and I know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And you got to know that you're called according to his purpose. For everything that I have ever gone through in my life, and the things that I probably go through in the future, now I get it, because I am called according to God's divine and holy purpose. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful word. What a powerful word. Amen. Well, my sister, first of all, I want to just thank you for your transparency. What we need today are people that are not ashamed to let the world know what God has brought them from, what he has brought them through. Hallelujah. And we can't be ashamed of that. And so, but I want to let people know, I want to point out to you real quick, because we don't want you to make any mistakes. And that is one of the things that will cause us to fall short. One of the things that will stunt our spiritual growth, one of the things that will cause us not to get it, is our own willful sin. Did you hear sister say, I placed myself in a position? We place ourselves in a position. You know. So one of the things that hinders us, hallelujah, from walking, from being moved from glory to glory, is that we, some of us are just, you know, we're just willful sinners. Even though we profess that we know that Jesus is Lord, we still are comfortable in the sin that we're in. So we never really seek God on these issues, because we don't want to hear from God on these issues. And then we wonder why we don't get it. We wonder why we lose the very things that we, the Word of God says, if a man shall, the very man that tries to save his life will lose it.
Will lose it. Amen.
Will lose it. So one of the things that causes us not to walk in the full purpose of God is our own willful sin, placing ourselves in situations where we have no business being. You know, the Lord Jesus has delivered us. He has delivered us. We just celebrated and commemorated Resurrection Sunday. And the Lord has delivered us from the tomb. But some of us want to keep going back and picking up the grave clothes.
Wow, that's
I heard
good
my
right
sister
there.
Said, she said, the Lord called her, told her to come out from among them. Well, the Lord has called you to come out from among those bed clothes, come out from among the tomb, come up out of the tomb and walk. But you're too busy trying to please people instead of pleasing God.
Living
see, some of us will never get it because our priorities aren't straight. I heard my sister say she had to perform. She had to perform. Mm-hmm. And that's what too many Christians are doing. They used to go to church on Sunday morning. They pile into the buildings and they would perform. But they didn't have a relationship. So they didn't get it.
And see, Apostle, you know, I had that relationship, but it wasn't all in. You know how some people be like,
yeah,
it was like I was treating God like he was my side piece. If y'all, you know, y'all can.
Come on now.
But you can't treat God like a side piece. And I was treating God like
a side piece.
That's right. I would be in prayer. And if that particular man called me in the middle of my prayer, I would stop praying to get on the phone with him.
Lord Jesus, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Now I get it.
And that's what I'm saying. When are we going to wake up? Yes. When are we going to wake up and say, now I get it. Now I get it. Like I heard my sister say, you know, people rely on their degrees and their credentials and their associates and the hookup and the networks.
And the communities that they live in, their zip code.
And the communities that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And people are running around seeking out ministries that are doing the work of the kingdom, not because they want to do the work of the kingdom, but because they want to give the perception.
They want to network. Ooh, you right there.
You know,
they slip out of this chair.
You know, I'm telling you, they're not really seeking the servant leader's vision for what their ministry may be or who they want to help.
Come on, Pastor.
They want to be out there on the front lines, being seen, being glorified, instead of having God glorified. And then they wonder why they can't get what they want. And it's simple, because they're not giving God what he wants them. You know, my sister was very clear about how, about what we needed to do, about what God brought her through. You know, when my husband died, when my husband died,
I remember that.
And I lost my income, you know, we lost, that was my one income. I was sitting waiting on Social Security to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit in that house, and you know, it was real funny. Before, when I was moving and I was buying other ministries tickets to their raffles that I didn't go to and
mm-hmm.
to their dinners that I didn't attend and to, you know, when I was doing all of that, Pastor Cook.
Mm-hmm.
But for a whole year, I didn't hear not one word from one.
And that's the thing that makes you say, why? Or what if I did this? Or what if I had this? You know, but now you get it.
But I get it, because I said, you know, and you know what? I'm not surprised. It's like, yeah, now I get it. And I just say, oh, because they was never real in the first place. I get it, God. Okay.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
You know, and I keep it moving. And what you have to do when you find yourselves in these places is to not get angry, to not get bitter, because that's what we tend to do. A lot of us, we never get it, because the minute we don't get what we think we should have or what we think we need, we gonna boycott God. Well, I'm just not good. We gonna boycott God. Okay.
We gonna boycott God.
We gonna boycott
God.
I'm a boycott God. He didn't give me
I'm not talking to him.
I'm not going up there saying that. You think God cares? Do you really think God cares? He's God. Mm-hmm. And the last time I checked, he's still sovereign.
What did Mordecai tell Esther? If you don't go, surely another shall arise in your place.
That's right. So a lot of us, I just want to just point out, some of you are saying, yeah, I've been through that. But you had to also hear that my sister allowed herself to be delivered. My sister allowed God to teach her through her circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, she didn't allow her circumstances to become who she was. She allowed God to elevate her above her circumstances, to teach from her circumstances, to testify from her circumstances, to be able to have discernment from her circumstances. See, that's what happens when you allow God to be God in your life, when you just allow him to take away and to add to as he sees fit. Hallelujah. I tell young people, they want to tell me, oh, well, I'm this way because my mama didn't do this and my daddy didn't do that. Let me explain something to you. There comes a time in your life that you just need to suck it up, buttercup, and that can be your excuse no longer. Because if you know enough to know they were wrong, then you know it's wrong for you too.
Come on.
If you
on.
Didn't like your mama being a crackhead, you being a crackhead not going to help you either.
And the thing of it is, there's a time, honestly believe, like how Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, you know, to everything there's a time and a purpose.
Yeah.
There's a time for us to have a made-up mind.
Amen.
There's a time for you to just make a decision to choose ye this day, as Joshua told us.
Yeah, you're
going to
serve on the real though.
Yeah, your choice is a seed. What you choose to do,
that's it.
It's going to be planted and it's going to manifest.
That's it. You know, and that's what it is. People use phrases like, oh, I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. And, oh, you know, I don't understand why he's punishing me. You know what? There's for every choice, there's a consequence.
Yes,
and, you know, you get to make your choices, but you better be able to live with the consequences. You
exactly.
can make any
exactly.
choice you choose, but can you live
and
with
you
the consequences?
Just said that. The thing of it is, sis, is like this, Apostle. You said
that's
you
all right. I'm see. I'm your sis first.
It says, yeah, amen. We reap. God don't sow that into us. We reap what we sow.
Nope.
We reap what
That's
we
right.
put out. What you put out gonna come
right.
back to you. What the old folks said, good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over.
That's right.
Good or bad, it returns to you. Call my voicemail,
that's
you're
right.
dead every time. And like
you know
Miller
that's the truth, the whole truth.
Right. And nothing but
that's
the
truth.
Because,
the whole truth and nothing but the truth because, you know, people wanna they want to seek God's hands. They want to seek the servant leader's hands, but they don't want to do the work. You know,
they never do.
They don't want to have the discipline. They don't, you know, they want to have everything, but they don't want to fast and pray.
They don't want to
serve others.
They want to borrow money. They want the church to help them with their bills, but they don't want to tithe.
Exactly.
Yeah, I said it. I said it. I did.
You know,
say
exactly.
I'm not looking. Elderly overlooked at me. Yes, I said it. But that's how it is. I remember with my late father-in-law, Pastor Travis, I would watch him. And then even my late pastor, Apostle Lee Harris, he shared with me. He was like, you know, so-and-so. No, they never tied. I was, what do you mean they never tied? They were there before I was. And they were always doing this, that, and the other. So he said, but they never tied. He said, but it wasn't for me to quiet or silence their gift. He said, but
right.
I understand where their heart is. Because where a person's treasure is, so is their heart. Some people want to be seen. Some people don't want, you know, it says the full gospel. But some people only want a portion of the gospel, 1%, maybe 5%. Or some people want their ears scratched because of the itch. But if you want to clean where the itch is, they don't want that clean because they don't want the blood on that and to wash everything out. They just want something that's going to be pleased. But now I get it because I know it's all or nothing. It's all of God or none of him. God is not part-time with us, you know, because if he was, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
We'd be in a lot of trouble. I mean, I admire and I'm so thankful that God has put, and I'm not just, you know, pulling your chain because you know how I am, but I thank God because he uses you to show me what a servant leader is. He used my late apostle Harris to show me how, you can die, you can do this in leadership and not worried about it. Because when I decided to go ahead and move forward with GAP, I was like, well, what about a church house? What about a building? What about the people? How about this? And why would I be doing this? And how can I do this? And he was like, just stop asking me the what in, but without, how, what if not. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about Apostle Cook runs a global network. And I don't see her, you know, the people pouring, you know, this, that, and the other. And I don't know that, but, you know, I observe what I observe.
They're not pouring.
But
they're not pouring.
And I'm a witness because, and I'm not ashamed to say it, but with GAP Ministry, it's two or three tithers. So I believe what it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst because he makes it happen. He makes it
happen.
That's right. And I'm like, well, God, I just thank you. You know, I'm not going to even ask you how. And I was like, well, why, God? Why would they? I've called you and said, you know,
right.
I've got this going on. I've got this. And you said, baby, sis, just do it. Do what God tell you do. Because I do know whoever's on this call listening, God will take care of you if you take care. If you put God first. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Don't just seek him first and then don't seek the righteousness because you can't have one without the other. But all things shall be added. He'll take care of you. God will do it. He will do it. And like you said, when my brother-in-law passed away, all those people were grinning in your face before he passed away, all the things that you were doing for him, I mean, doing for them. And then when those things were coming, they didn't call and say, well, do you need anything? Can I come by
not
and take you
thing.
Out to dinner or something? Nothing. And leaders
thing,
need
honey.
That. Leaders need that. We.
Yes.
I thought about it last week, and one time I put up on the GAP page, unspoken prayers. You know what the unspoken prayer was? Just pray for me. Because we're
always the unspoken prayer. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. We're always laboring for other people. And one night I was like, God, why? Why won't they do this? Why won't they do this? And he said, you already know. You already know.
Exactly.
And you said it. You said because they choose to be halfway in. They want one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And you guess what? That's not going to work. That dog ain't going to hunt. What'd you say, Elder Leola?
Praise God. Apostle, as I was sitting here, I was thinking about over my life, what happened in my life. Some things I allowed, some things just happened that I had no control over. But now I get it. On the call last week, we talked about things that's happened in the life. You know, some people said that, you know, I like comfy clothes. I like to do this. You know, I'm tomboyish with things. People said I was gay, but they didn't understand. I'm not gay. I just like the things I like. But I love God. That's the only thing you need to know is I love God. I love God. And then the point of being accepted with things, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe I'm not this, maybe I'm not that. But God knows. He called me. He called you. He called who he called. And if he called you for a purpose.
He called who answers.
He called who answers. Romans 8:28. All things you've been through in the past, all things you're going through now, all things you'll go through in the future, it all comes for the good. The enemy thought he had you when he molested you and raped you and took your self-confidence and he took all that. He thought he had you. But God already had a plan from the beginning.
Amen.
Even back Genesis when the enemy came in and he tempted Eve and the apple she ate of the apple and everything, he already had a plan. The plan was, okay, this happened. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, close it out, but I got my son coming. I believe he had a plan already.
Amen.
Even in Genesis from the beginning until the time
he always had a plan.
Amen.
Well, we got to check and let some – go ahead, my sister. Finish your sentence. I'm sorry.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Oh, all right, baby. Well, now, if you're sitting in the studio, honey, we've been talking so much. It's almost 8 o'clock, and we haven't asked a soul if they had a comment or a question. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I think our sister Holiday is up in here. Holiday, are you in the house, beloved?
Or is that Shotwell?
Or Shotwell. Oh, okay, that's Sister Angela. Okay, Sister Angela, come on in the room. Oh, okay. Well, praise the living God. All right, well, praise the living God. If you're in here and you'd like to have a word, please press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you on in the room. Hallelujah, because we will give you a few minutes to have a word. Hallelujah. But we just want to, first and foremost, this was a wonderful discussion. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. I praise God for it all. And I just want you to know, Apostle, you just keep on walking. And you also, Elder, and for everyone that's listening, you will get it. If you just stay in God's word,
mm-hmm.
you just pray according to God's
now
word.
You
know, you really will get it. So on behalf, we just want to thank you for listening to Gap Ministries. Bible study for tonight. Hallelujah. It was led by our anointed host, Apostle J. Leon Travis. And we just pray in the name of Jesus that you heard something that truly blessed you. I want to thank you, Elder Leola, for your faithfulness. And thank you for not just seeking my sister's hands, but you truly are a faithful servant. And you have caught her vision. So I appreciate you standing with my younger sister in all things. So on behalf of myself, Apostle J. Leon Travis, and Elder Leola Williams, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household of faith to yours, it is indeed our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Ministries Network. Good night, beautiful sisters. I love you so much. God bless you.
We love you, too. Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
God bless you, too. I love you, too. Good night.
Okay. Good night, Cheryl.